Okay, today we are talking about virtual reality and the future of virtual reality and some exciting applications of VR. And to do this, I am joined by Steve Zhao, who is the CEO of Sandbox. Hi, Steve.
How are you, Bernard?
I'm very good, very good. So you're joining us from Hong Kong today, which is midnight there, your time at the moment, right?
30 minutes to midnight.
Yeah, wow. Wow, I really appreciate you staying up late.
No worries.
So tell us a little bit more about yourself, what you do, and about Sandbox.
So I've been developing games pretty much all my life. I started when I was 13 years old, built my first professional game in university back in the US. And my first company was a gaming company where we made PC and mobile games. And that pretty much ended around 2014 when we tried to enter the mobile space, but it was just very difficult for us. But around that same time, that's when VR really picked up. So in early 2016, I started what is now today known as Sandbox VR. So in the beginning, it was a startup pretty much funded by me and my friends. It was to develop games for the VR headsets, namely the Oculus Rift and HTC Vive. But, you know, during our development, we actually realized that to create what we felt like the most immersive VR wasn't just strictly inside the headset, that it needed other technology around it. So we actually thought that the best outcome was actually to build a retail store. It was such a far-off bet, but we used the experience as a driving point. It's like if we worked backwards and said, you know, what does it take to create the best pretty much a VR experience possible? We realized that beyond just a headset, you need to be together with a group of friends. You have to be fully tracked from head to toe. And we realized that you can't do that inside a home. So we had to open shop. It was the last thing we wanted to do, but I think it was the best thing that we could do to create what we felt like the best VR experience possible.
Very good. This is fascinating. So tell us a little bit more about those experiences then and what people can expect. So how have you created this more immersive environment? So you do full body VR. What does that mean?
So what that means is once you go to a Sandbox store, we put headsets on you, you wear these VR backpacks, and we use motion capture cameras within the room to track you. Now, all of this are hardware you can just buy off the shelf. But what we've really done was we built a software architecture to allow a group of friends, namely a group of six folks, to play within a very confined environment. So once they strap on the headset, all the gears, and they're inside VR, like their hands are tracked, their fingers are tracked, their legs are tracked. It's almost like a one-to-one movement. So in a sense, it's almost like a minimal viable matrix or a minimal viable holodeck. It almost feels like it's real life because, you know, as a player, when you look at your friends, you literally can high five your friend, you can hug your friend, you can kick your friend. And what that does is you start to forget that you're inside a simulation and this world to you becomes real. So we spent an inordinate amount of time to create that technology to do that. And then we also have a team that actually build our experiences internally. Because our DNA has been developing games. This is very natural to us, but we're developing games on a platform that we created. So we really utilize like all the methods that we created where you're required to like interact with your friends. So you had to put your hands on your friend's shoulder to save them. There are instances where you have to physically help your friend out. So what that does is the outcome is you believe in the world. It's very real. And in order to progress in that world, you and your friends have to communicate and work together. And we have one of the best ways to describe it. It's like you and your friends are the stars inside your own movies. And that's basically what we created.
Very good. So what sort of experiences, what a summary of some of the key games and experiences people can have?
So we have five pieces of content. We started with Deadwood Mansion, which is a zombie experience. It's not just about shooting zombies. You will see like rats running, crawling on you. You can just brush them off. You can shoot them off of your friend's body. There are like traps inside this mansion. So just lasers, you have to be able to dodge it. Tell your friend to move away. There's some zombies that will incapacitate your friend. So you would have to help them in certain ways. So that's kind of like the horror intense experience. And people love that. We also created one where it's called Amber Sky. It takes you all the way up to space. You're on a space elevator and you go all the way up to the space station and you have to fight off aliens. And then you have another one where you're on a like cursed pirate ship to find a treasure. And this is more like a teamwork puzzle-based experience. So you have to work together to figure out how you want to navigate that story. And we also work with CBS Viacom on the Star Trek Discovery IP. So we put you in that world and there's fantasy moments that you would see in a TV show or that you would see in the broader Star Trek universe that you get to do inside a sandbox. And then our fifth experience is a esport experience where you get to fight your friends with digital weapons.
Very good. So do you envisage a world where you will roll out more of those physical studios, or do you think that at some point in the future we will have those experiences from home where people have some of this technology in their home so you can have a similar experience without having to go to physical locations?
So definitely our strategy is to roll these locations out. We currently have 12 locations worldwide. Obviously, with the pandemic going on, it has been extremely difficult, not just for us, but for any retailers, especially if it's experiential. But for us, one of the questions that we ask ourselves, like, hey, can you actually put this inside your home? Is this kind of like a movie experience where eventually you can stream it in front of your TV? If our product is like the holodeck, you can't really just hang the holodeck on your wall. Even if the technology decreases in price over time and technology improves over time, but the size of someone's home actually gets smaller over time, you know, as folks kind of congregate to cities and such. So we don't think this experience can be replicated, at least that social experience where you have a group of friends play together, where it's full body tracking. And not only that, we utilize any type of immersive technology to increase immersion. For example, you would wear these haptic vests with like over 40 points of haptic feedback. So when a zombie scratches you, you will feel that scratch in that direction. And that's just a start. You know, for us, we want to create other tools and other haptic technology to really immerse experience. And you cannot just really get that efficiently at home.
Pretty cool. So looking at the VR space more widely then, what do you see as some of the most promising applications of virtual reality?
So when I think about VR, we also think about like AR, you know, what are the applications of both? So VR is definitely what I focus on, but just high level, I think of AI as kind of like enhancing real life. So application to enhance real life, you can imagine can work really well for education, for training. But when I think about VR, you're basically replacing the whole image with something else. So what that does is it's more like escapism. So in terms of that, it works really well with anything where people for entertainment, whether it's for like a VR concert or for us, basically VR games. And if you look at some of the most popular apps on, say, Oculus headset or the Vive headset, they're pretty much dominated by gaming titles right now. So entertainment is just this huge factor for VR. And it's great because VR is this brand new medium. And there's a lot of experiences or games that can be done in VR that you wouldn't get the same experience if it was like on console, PC, or even on mobile.
So what are some of your favorite examples of VR in entertainment and gaming?
I would say one game that got it really right is it's called Beat Saber. And what Beat Saber is, if someone has ever played Guitar Hero, it is a rhythm-based game that is pretty competitive where you play against the music. But for Beat Saber, it's just as a player, instead of like holding guitar, you hold two joysticks and you swing these sabers to hit these notes. And the reason why it's such a great game is because the navigation, the control is very fluid, it's very natural, it's meant for VR. The way you hold a controller feels very natural, it's like holding swords. And second, it's just a very well-designed, very well-polished experience. And third is the social community aspects of it, where people would actually perform these notes. It's not just about getting the high score. It's actually a performance art, where people would do these performed and they put it on YouTube and there would be like millions of views and people would talk about it. Like that is how what VR is. It's just so compelling that your body becomes a control and you can show it as a almost like an art.
Very good. And yeah, I see huge possibilities in sports as well, and entertainment, music, concerts, sport, watching sports. Do you see that too?
One of the reasons we're pretty fortunate to have gotten investors to invest in Sandbox from sports athletes like Kevin Durant or musicians like Katy Perry is because we really believe that VR is this artistic medium for storytelling, for sports, for music, for art. And, you know, VR is just such a new technology that we're kind of at the beginning of it. I think as the years progress and more will be invented, that we can start finding more application and more fluid application for, you know, these type of mediums.
I think I've just finished my latest book that will come out next year on extended reality. And for me, this is just the next big trend that is about to take off. And we'll see augmented reality, virtual reality very quickly following along. What do you see as some of the key enablers or barriers of actually making VR and AR more mainstream?
I think for VR, at least for home consumer VR, one of the challenges is actually competition with other things you can do at home. So when I'm at home, I can watch Netflix, I can play on my PlayStation 4, I can play on my laptop, or I can put on a VR headset and play VR. But there's intrinsically a huge friction of use for VR. And of course, we've seen that being improved, but at the first generation, the VR headsets kind of tethered to a computer. There needs to be some setup and calibration that's needed. So the friction of use actually creates a high level of churn. So making it very hard to adopt for VR. And you combine that with not having a huge category of titles to play, that it becomes less compelling overall to play VR. But lately, the newest generation of headsets, they're all-in-one headsets, where there's no longer tethered to wire, it's very easy to turn to the lower friction of use. So you do see that improve, but I feel like it's pretty incremental. I think the biggest breakthrough would come from eventually the catalog of, you know, applications and games available where consumers will be like, well, I really got to play this because there's nothing like this in other form factors.
Yeah, very good. Do you envisage a world where we'll do social media in VR at some point? I guess companies like Facebook are betting on this, creating their Horizon platform, where their vision is that we will just stick on our VR goggles and then meet up in virtual reality rather than on a two-dimensional screen. Do you see that?
I think if that is to work out, it has to be done in a way that it is not incrementally better than anything that we have currently right now. It has to have experience as 10x that you can do in VR to justify that. So until they figure that out, it'll be hard for someone to transition to that medium or motivated to transition to that medium.
Very good. I mean, you are close to the industry. You see some of the trends, some of the developments. You're already using haptic vests. What other things do you see on the horizon that really excites you? You've talked about this incremental evolution. Do you see anything that could take us beyond that?
Well, for us, haptic is kind of the starting point. There are controllers that we work with another team that can actually create frictions. So what would it mean to use telekinesis, right? So we were able to work with a partner with a controller to retest that out. Or what would it mean to hold a sword and to swing it against a physical object and feel that force on your hand? So those are just very incremental things that we're looking into. But when I think about creating immersive experience, it's not usually one or two big things. Sometimes it's a lot of little incremental things that can actually make the whole experience very real. So it is that combination that we're very excited that over time we can find different ways to incrementally make a player feel more immersed in the world.
So do you see other sensors coming in? Things like sensors of smell, for example, and others?
We did look into it. For us, I do think as humans, there are certain senses that we're very sensitive to, and probably we should double down on those. And there are other senses that it would be less impactful. So that's one thing we see. Smell is something harder to implement right. So for us, there has to be a level of application and execution on top of like the functionality for us to justify putting into our product. But for us, is when it comes to Sandbox, the biggest thing that we care about is that social element. What do you get to do with your friends, right? And for us, that smell is secondary to what you can do socially with your friends. So we really want to focus on that too. First, it's that interaction between friends rather than trying to work on other things that might not relate to that in its entirety.
Very good. So if you try to paint your picture of where you see VR and AR and extended reality in general going over the next few years, what do you see on the horizon in terms of how the industry will change?
Well, definitely I could speak about VR. I think the industry for VR is getting, I would say, a lot more convenient in a sense that the friction of use has become lower, which allows for further adoption of these devices. And what that also does is the friction of use is lower, you're not tethered to wire. That also increases, it broadens the type of experiences that can be created. When you're tethered to wire, the experiences are pretty immobile in order to work. But now with that, along with better inside-out tracking, you can actually create experiences that encourages more movement. And that encourages a rich variety of like other type of experiences that can be developed. So that's really interesting for us.
Very good. What's your prediction? By when will VR become real mainstream?
I think that's a really tricky question. I think there are really interesting things that are being developed right now. There's definitely a high adoption rates. But even for VR, like for us, there's a home consumer, there's also out of home. We do see folks be incentivized to at least to go out their home to do social experiences. And what the pandemic has done actually probably create this like pent up demand that whenever it's safe, like folks will go back out again and they'll just make up the time difference and try to do more experiences with their friends and family in a safe environment for something that's very social. And hopefully Sandbox will be one of those places for them to spend their time.
Very good. That's a great point to end. Hopefully, I agree, we'll hopefully go back to a world we can all get together and then experience VR in the Sandbox. That would be pretty epic.
Awesome.
Thanks. Very good. Thank you so much, Steve.
Take care.
Take care.